This is the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown.
In the late 1800s and into the early 1900s, New York City had a problem. Tens of thousands of homeless children. They'd lost their parents to disease. Maybe some were abandoned because of widespread poverty. So a minister had an idea. You gather these kids on a train and literally transport them west. The orphan train would stop along the way, and the farmers and shopkeepers would come to the station, inspect the children, and decide if any would be a good match for their families, or perhaps businesses. By today's standards, it's a pretty shocking story, but it's also one that's been largely untold. Texans Allison Moore and Phil Lancaster have been doing their darndest over the past several years to change that. They live in the central Texas city of Wimberley, but travel across the country presenting stories of the orphan train. Welcome to both of you.
Great to be here.
Yes, thank you.
Thanks so much for coming in. What got you two enamored with the stories of the so-called orphan train?
Allison and I met at the Kerrville Folk Festival in 1997.
You don't say.
And one of the first things she asked me was, did I know anything about the orphan trains? One of her former creative writing students at the University of Arizona had asked her that same question just shortly before that. To make a long story short, we found that the Orphan Train Heritage Society of America was 5 miles away from where I lived. Wow. In Arkansas at the time.
And what was it, Allison, that grabbed you about this subject?
The two words, orphan trains, it just absolutely haunted me. As a writer, I knew right away that I wanted to write about it before I knew much about it.
Yeah.
So the whole experience of stumbling on this part of history, you know, at the time I was a tenure track professor at University of Arizona, and I ended up jumping the tenure track and riding the orphan train instead.
So it's something that I've come to understand, and maybe I'm wrong about this. I hear that it wasn't really called the orphan train in the early days. That was an appellation that was given at some later time.
Right. It was actually called the placing out system. Now, there was not an orphan train. This was any passenger train going in any direction with reduced fares for the children. That's how Charles Loring Brace was able to make this work financially.
Brace was a reformer in New York City.
He was a reformer. Yes, he was. And way ahead of his time.
Yeah.
Way ahead of his time.
And of course, this predates the foster care system, certainly as we know it today, but really any serious talk in the States about having some kind of foster care system. Otherwise, I mean, some of these kids, as I understand it, they still had both parents living and they
yes.
were riding these trains.
Yes. So the orphan trains is actually a misnomer. About half of the children that rode these trains had one living parent. And many of these were children of immigrants who had left extended family in Ireland or Germany or Italy. And so if one parent died, and women often died in childbirth and men died of terrible working conditions, then the children would have nowhere to go with extended family. So they would be put in orphanages. Orphanages became overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was an economic solution to a problem New York had.
What sort of sense can you give us of what it was like at the time when you'd see these trains come in with the little kids in the cars hanging out the window, you know, and there'd be groups of people who had seen the advertisements in the local paper or something like that. Was there a sense that maybe this was good for the kids?
I think the people who started all of this and who accompanied the children on the trains felt that this was the only option for them. Placing out meant that you weren't going to be raised in an institution or an orphanage.
So you'd be on the streets.
You'd be on the streets or you'd be raised in a juvenile asylum, which was a horrible fate. So they relied on the kindness of strangers. That was really the phrase that they used. And there were a lot of people who definitely rose to that occasion.
Mm-hmm.
There were also people who abused the system, who took children just to work, never allowing them to sleep in the house. They slept in the barn. We've met orphan train riders at the reunions, and we heard it all. You know, we heard happy endings and heartbreaking stories and everything in between. There was one woman who said, you know, my life began the day that I stepped off that train because the people who took me chose me out of all of those children in a line, they chose me. But there were also many stories of people just seeing the pandemonium at the station, not knowing what was going on, showing up. This happened in Wellington, Texas. A man just came to town for provisions that day, saw all of this, saw a boy, and saw what was going on and decided to take him. The only problem was that boy was holding on to the hand of his brother and wouldn't let go. So he ended up taking two children home, trying to figure out what to tell his wife on the way back.
Honey, I brought home a family. Boy, are there still any survivors around, to your knowledge? I mean, people who rode those trains?
The last orphan train rider that we know of is in a nursing facility in Eagle Lake, Texas.
Wow.
And her name is Beatrice Flanagan Feuchtig. She was 14 months old when she came out to Sealy, Texas, and she's 97 right now. But the oldest orphan train rider just died a month ago in Arizona. She was 106.
Why did the program end ultimately? I mean, of course, the start of the modern foster care system sort of coincides or dovetails with this, doesn't it?
To a certain degree, the law Aid to Families with Dependent Children was enacted in 1930, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things happening. But also, as you had mentioned before, there were states now having been developed, having larger cities and having problems with their own unwanted children. You know, not what do we do with them? So there was some friction there and pushback on New York. They no longer wanted the unwanted of New York.
I have to ask about this. Was money exchanged in these transactions?
None. In terms of you didn't buy a child. I mean, their fare had been paid for by the railroads. Charles Loring Brace raised money to have people accompany them, have new clothes, and also for agents to check on all of these children on a yearly basis. Now, this is one of the unknown parts of the orphan trains, that they actually did check up, and there is a lot of paperwork.
Wow. So why do you feel, both of you, why do you feel a need to keep these stories alive?
Well, it's such a huge story that had been so well kept secret, if you will. When we stumbled upon it ourselves, we couldn't believe this story. It's not in our history books, still isn't. And when we had that opportunity over the years to meet these orphan train riders, one of the crying songs of them was that, you know, they don't want to be forgotten, because late in life, they found this connection with this community, that they found out that they were part of this huge part in American history that they themselves still didn't know that much about.
It was a story of shame, and many orphan train riders went to their graves never telling their family.
It's an amazing story about, well, big part of American history, certainly part of Texas history, and Allison Moore and Phil Lancaster of Wimberley are keeping it alive, traveling across the country with their program, Riders on the Orphan Train. Allison, Phil, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your interest.
Appreciate it.